Philippians chapter 3, we'll begin reading tonight in verse number 15. Thank you for being here tonight. Brother Brian has mentioned this often, and I think it's worthy of mentioning. I like the midweek service, and I hope you do. Amen. I believe that's why you're here. I know that churches are giving up on the midweek service. They're giving up on the Sunday night service, many of them. But I thank God for this privilege to be here tonight with you all. I really do. It helps me. I know that, from time to time, if I'm out of town, or I don't know that I've missed a day sick since I've been here. I can't remember hardly anything, but I know it seems like an eternity before the next service gets back around. And I praise the Lord for the privilege to be here with you all tonight. Verse number 15 in Philippians chapter 3, let us therefore, now someone said, and it's not just a little play on words, but said when you see the word therefore, you need to look and see what it's there for. And we're coming out of last week's study, the last couple of weeks, where Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. What were the two main goals of the Christian life? Anybody remember? That I may know him, number one. And then number two, in knowing him, the goal is to be like him just as much as we can. Paul said he hadn't already attained, but when you look at all this and realize that there's going to be a resurrection, that we're not perfect yet, but one day we will be, that we can forget those things which are behind, reach forth to those things which are before, and press on toward the mark of the high calling, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And because of all those things, he says, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example or an ensample. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you, this really stuck out to me today, even weeping. There are those in the world today that almost come across like they're rejoicing at the error and the downfall of someone else. But the Apostle Paul, I mean, listen, he's describing enemies here. You'll see it in just a minute. He said, for many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. I'll make a statement tonight. You don't have to agree with me, but I believe if we're fully in love with Jesus, that if the devil could be saved, we'd want to see him saved. We know he can't be. We know that. We know he won't be. But I believe that's talking about the enemies here. And Paul's not talking about somebody that's his enemy. And I think that's a trap that a lot of Christians get caught in. They think somebody's their enemy, when actually they're an enemy of the cross of Christ. And Paul said here, I tell you, those two words, even weeping, it broke his heart that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. He said in verse 20, for our conversation, he's given you a contrast here. There's people that are in error. There are people that are enemies of the cross. And then there's us, God's people. And the contrast is they mind earthly things. And I go back, Everybody knows there will be Sunday school lessons that you just never forget. Once in a while, there might be a sermon or a message that you never forget, or maybe a statement. Brother Brian many times will quote something maybe Brother Jack said years ago, or something Brother Dare said years ago, or something Brother Mitchell said years ago. Just kind of stuck down in your heart. When I'm preaching, I do the same thing lots of times. And lots of times I can't even remember who said it, but what they said stuck in my heart. And the Sunday school lesson about being overcharged, I'll never get past that. Amen. And I'm guilty of that, I believe, a lot of times in my life. Get too many irons in the fire, you know, and too many things going on. And if we're not careful, listen to him carefully, it's certainly not our heart, but if someone were examining our life, we look just like them. We look like we're just minding earthly things. How many's with me tonight? Amen. It encroached into our prayer life. It encroached into our Bible study life. It encroached into our witnessing. And so if we're not careful, I'm just saying, we're not really, I guess, so to speak, like them in the sense that that's our heart. That's not the heart of the believer. But sometimes our actions can't hardly tell them apart from those that don't have a heart. When we get wrapped up in the things and the cares of this life. He said, for our conversation is in heaven. And I'm going to discuss a lot of this as we go. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. The Lord will help me tonight. I want to begin in verse number 15 and come down through here and look at some references and talk about a few of these words and try to expound upon this passage. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for the prayer meeting, each one that has prayed and each request that's been made, each praise, our Lord, that's been shared. And Lord, we just praise you tonight for what you're doing in our midst. Thank you, Lord, for those who will be baptized Sunday. And I thank you, Lord, that it does not add to their salvation, but it, Lord, it will add to their stature as a Christian. It will help them to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And I pray now, Father, that you'll bless the lesson tonight and help us, clothe us, our God, in our calling. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We go up there in verse number 12. I'm looking at verse number 15. It says, let us therefore as many as be perfect. If you look back at verse number 12, he said, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect. Now, there's not a contradiction here. If you look up these words here, you're going to be talking about perfection like Christ in verse number 12. He said, I'm headed that way, but I'm not already there. When you get down into verse number 15, he said, let us therefore as many as be like-minded be perfect. That word perfect there, it comes from a word that means complete or completeness of full age. And it's talking about a level of maturity that comes with verse number 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. I believe this tonight. I believe sometimes we mature much better in the trials than we do on the mountaintops. And we grow. If you'll notice, if you've ever been out in the woods, the soil seems to be the most fertile down in the valley. And in the valleys of life, I believe sometimes that's where we grow up. Some of the verses I had down here in 1 Corinthians 2:6, he said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. 1 Corinthians 14:20 gives us a good picture. He said, brethren, be not children in understanding, Howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men, perfect or of a ripe age. In Galatians 5 and 10, he said, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. He that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Sometimes division comes. Listen to me carefully. We'll read about that in just a minute. He said here, if any be otherwise minded, God will reveal that. And then in verse 16, he says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us mind the same thing. Sometimes division comes, listen to me carefully right here, as a result of immaturity. I think one picture of immaturity is when an individual, whether it's a husband or a wife, whether it's in the church setting or whether it's at work or wherever it might be, when an individual just has to have their way, they're not even willing to open their mind just a minute or think about it or discuss it. It's got to be my way or the highway. I believe that is an example of immaturity. I believe when we mature, that we might say, well, okay, you got an idea here and I got an idea here. Well, somewhere in here, God's got an idea. Let's me and you work together and see if we can find the mind of God. Amen. And I believe that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about in this maturity. He said, let us therefore as many as be perfect or mature be thus minded. If anything be otherwise minded, God will reveal that to you. He said, nevertheless, we've already attained. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. We discussed this earlier in the book, but I believe it's worthy. Not everybody's been here through the whole book, but it's worthy to mention just a couple of things. In Romans 12:16, Paul said, be of the same mind one toward another. He said, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, and be not wise in your own conceit. Now, I know this is being taped tonight, so I'm going to preface what I'm about to say. I'm not here tonight by what I'm about to say endorsing anybody. That's illegal. It's illegal for a pastor to stand in the pulpit and endorse a person. Amen. If a church has tax-exempt status, it is illegal for me to stand up and tell you all, vote for this man. You understand what I mean? Okay. Ask me after church, I reckon it's legal. But anyway, amen. But I got me a king-size blessing. And here's what I want you to do if you've not already done it. I would like for you to go on the internet, if you have internet access. If you don't, go somewhere that does have it. And type in these words, Ben Carson, prayer breakfast. Type in those words, Ben Carson, prayer breakfast. That's where this man that now is a candidate began to be pushed up. I've always said this. Leadership is not a man that stands up and says, bless God, I want to be the leader. Leadership is somebody that others recognize and they push them up from the bottom. Amen. But last night he was asked a question. Another candidate, and I'm not going to name that candidate, but another candidate, they asked him the question, you know, you talk about the Bible. Do you have a favorite Bible verse? And he said, I just like them all. That's what he said. That other candidate did. So while they were interviewing Ben Carson, they said, we've asked that question of another candidate. We'd like to ask it of you. He didn't hesitate. He said, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean. You talk about a breath of fresh air. I'm talking about on national television. Amen. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. What a breath of fresh air. And I think that's what Paul is saying here. Be not wise in thine own conceit. The man is, he's been a pediatric neurosurgeon. And there's people in this church have a great, tremendous, wonderful education in this field or that field. But how refreshing that they walk humbly with their God. Amen. How refreshing it is to be a part of a church, whether you have a lot of education or you don't have any. At the foot of the cross, the ground is level. And we're not walking around with our noses in the air and our own conceit. We're realizing, like the Apostle Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I didn't mean to say all that, but I did, and I ain't taking none of it back. Paul said not to be wise. God said the wisdom of this world is foolishness. God's chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Amen. Bless his name. Nevertheless, he said, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. He said, Romans 12, be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Have you ever been around somebody that was trying to impress somebody with their speech or with their demeanor? And normally they get caught. They won't spit out more than two or three sentences and they get caught. But Paul said, don't be that way. Romans 15:5, he said, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. I'll tell you something that'll hurt a church, hurt a family. It hurts a job situation is when people are not like-minded one to another. They make much more of this one than they do of this one, much less of this one than they do of this one. How many believes our Lord is no respecter of persons? I believe he honors that. In Galatians 6 and verse number 16, he said, as many as walk according to this rule, watch this now, I want to give you something here. He said, peace be on them and mercy upon the God, the Israel of God. I was going to say the God of Israel, but it's the Israel of God. Let me tell you something right now. Peace is a wonderful barometer. If we lose our peace, we better start examining real quickly and find out why our peace left us. But sometimes our peace leaves us. How many knows what I'm talking about right here? Because we're not like-minded one toward another. And because we don't prefer our brother before ourselves. The Apostle Paul has not given us advice. I've said for years, I wouldn't give you a nickel for a preacher that's trying to feed the sheep something that he's not willing to eat himself. Paul has not given us advice and given us instruction that he himself is not willing to follow. He said in Philippians 2:2, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Years ago, Brother Ralph, I heard Brother Mays say this on the radio. He said, the only way I know to get the deacons in one mind and one accord, he said, invite them for steak and take them in a Honda. It's on that Honda Accord. Amen. You know how Brother Mays was. Amen. He had all kinds of crazy things he said. In a lot of places, that's the truth. And I tell you something tonight. What Brother Randy said in this pulpit Sunday night is true. We have something precious. And we better guard it with our very lives. Unity. Harmony. Peace. Joy. Sometimes it's unspeakable. Full of glory. He said, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. I just now looked at my watch. I'd like to throw it to somebody. Would somebody catch it? Amen. No, I've always been conscious of the fact on Wednesday night that kids are going to school and people are going to work, and so I always try to let them out before 10 o'clock. That's for people that don't know, right? Amen. Let's look at verse 17. He said, brethren, Paul, when he uses that word, it's of course talking to God's people, the believer, the born again. He doesn't expect the sinner man to follow him. He doesn't expect the heathen to follow him. He doesn't expect the enemy of the cross to follow him. But he does expect the brethren. Now watch now, it's not blind. He said, brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as you have us for an ensample. I looked up that phrase, followers together, and it means a co-imitator. And what's a picture of, and there's another verse. Let me read it to you in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am a follower of Christ. What it is Paul is saying, okay, you can follow me. You can pattern your life because I'm following the ultimate example. And I'm patterning my life after him. I don't believe that Paul or any other man needs to be put upon a pedestal. He's still a man. But I do believe this. Every papaw in here ought to walk in such a way that you wouldn't mind them grand youngins following papaw. Every daddy in here ought to walk in such a way that you wouldn't mind them youngins following daddy. Same goes for mama and for mamma. Amen. And I believe that that's true of in the ministry. Our Sunday school teachers have a class. And they ought to live their life in such a way. Help me right there. That every youngin in that class, if they followed them, it would cause them to get closer to and be more like Christ. Every Sunday school teacher, every pastor ought to walk and live in such a way that it would honor God. And the folks would be drawn near to him. He said in 1 Corinthians 4:16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. And in 1 Thessalonians 1:6, he said, and you became followers of us and of the Lord. That's important because Paul is actually saying, you can't follow me without following him. Yeah. Amen? Because I'm following him. If you follow me, this is a truth that some seemingly have never learned. You can never drive sheep. You can't get behind them and make them go anywhere or do anything. But if you get out in front of them, they'll follow the shepherd. And by the way, Jesus is our good shepherd, our great shepherd, our chief shepherd. And he's never driven any of us. Amen. He gets out in front of us. He said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they what? Follow me. It's not a demand. It's not something that he makes us do. But it's something that the love that he put in our heart when he saved us causes us to want to do. And I really believe How many of you all, listen to me carefully, you don't know the Apostle Paul personally, so to speak, but how many of you all love the Apostle Paul? How many of y'all believe it would have been easy in Paul's day if you were a genuine born-again believer? How many believe it would have been easy to love that man? Realizing he's down there in prison. He said in verse number 3 of 1 Peter chapter 5, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. There's something wrong when a father has to stand up in the home and say, bless God, I'm the boss around here. There's something wrong in that situation. How many knows what I just said? He's supposed to be the leader. And I believe if he's the leader that he's supposed to be, those in that household want him to be the leader and want to follow him. The best boss you ever had on the job wasn't somebody that stuck her chest out and said, bless God, I'm the boss and you're going to do what I tell you to do. The best boss you ever had rolled his sleeves up when there was a problem and got right in there with you and tried to help you. And you developed an admiration and a respect. Amen? And you'd go to the end of the world for him to help him get the job done. I believe it's true in the ministry as well. Peter said, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. I don't want to ask you all to go on visitation, knock on doors and give out tracts and invite people to church while I sit at the house. Amen. I want to go with you and I want us to go together and I want to be an example. In verse number 18, I'll read this verse tonight, maybe say a couple of things, and then we'll, that's a lot there. In verse number 18, he said, for many walk, he's giving you a contrast now. In verse 17, he said, be followers together of me, and then he said, mark them which walk. But he said, now there's another crowd, many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you, even weeping. You remember in the book of Acts, where was it Paul was? I can't remember. Somebody can maybe help me. But he said, by the space of 3.5 years, I cease not to warn every one of you day and night with tears. Anybody remember where that was? It's not a trick question. I just can't remember right now where that was. You remember that passage, don't you, Brother Brian? He said, I cease not to warn every one of you day and night. So even those that were on the opposing side, so to speak, he was still warning them. I don't believe there's anything wrong with preaching on hell, preaching on that side of God that God calls wrath. Judgment. But I do believe there's something wrong tonight, even when we're praying for our loved ones, if our heart is not broken over those that are going to leave this world without Christ. Our hearts should be broken over them, and I believe that's what Paul is saying. Did you find it, Brother Brian? I knew you were looking for it, brother. Where was he talking about, brother? What was he making reference to? I'm wanting to say Thessalonica, but I'm not sure. Acts 21, okay. Acts 20, okay. Acts 20:31. Let's see. I take you to record. Who's he talking to here? It's Ephesians. It's Ephesus, isn't it? And he said, and from Miletus in verse 17, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church together. So he's at Ephesus and he's saying, I've ceased not by the space of 3.5 years to warn every one of you. In other words, Paul realizes that everybody at Ephesus didn't repent. How many believes he wanted them all to? I believe if you walk with the Lord, that's what you want. You want them all. Brother Wayne, when you go into that jail, they ain't all going to repent, but you want them all to. You want every one of them to. And I believe that was Paul's heart. That was his heartbeat as he followed the Lord. He said, I've told you often, now I tell you even weeping, that they're the enemies. He said in Galatians 1:6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That was true in Paul's day. That's true in this day. That'll be true till Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom on the earth. Amen. They'll always, anything that God has that's pure and right and good, the devil's always trying to imitate it. But he always twists it up. He always mixes it up. He never gets it right. In Galatians 6:12, he said, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cause of Christ. I don't know about you all, the lady in Kentucky, she don't nod her eyes and cross her T's like I do. But I admire somebody that says, I'll go to jail before. I'll disobey my Lord, bring shame to my Lord. They're talking now how they might fix the laws. And I'm not trying to be mean tonight. But the only way to fix what's been done is to undo it. Not just fix it where people can. That's the only way to fix it in our country, is to undo it. Now, I mean, the only way to fix abortion is to not do it. The only way to fix gambling is just not do it. The only way to fix drunkenness is just not do it, not make it available. And the only way to fix this thing with, they call it same-sex marriage, it's not marriage at all. Marriage, listen to me carefully, God just gave me something. Marriage, you want to know what God says about marriage? Marriage is honorable in all. And the bed undefiled, that whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now, let me give you something. Lord, just give me something right there. Think about this for just a minute. I'm going to quit. I'm not done. I'm just going to quit. Not finished either, Miss E, but I'm just going to quit. God didn't even mention sodomy in that verse. Marriage ain't nowhere near it. Help me. Didn't even mention it. He said, I done told you about that way back yonder. That's an abomination in the sight of God. Marriage and sodomy don't even belong in the same sentence. That's what God's saying. I appreciate this book, don't you? We'll uncouple right there. Couple back up next Wednesday night, God willing. That'll give me a little more time to study out them last couple verses. Amen. put some more meat on them bones. Brother Brian, you know what that's like, don't you? Amen. God throws you a bone and you get to digging in that Bible and put meat on them bones. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? How many's glad you saved? How many glad you're on the side of the Apostle Paul, not on the enemy's side? Over there. Amen. And it's all because of Calvary. All because of the grace of our living Lord. Lord, thank you tonight. God, would you help us in our country? Help us, our God. Lord, we've spit on you as a nation, kicked you out of the schools, tried to change your word and pervert your word. Oh, God, I pray you'd help us. Lord, I believe there's a night coming like this country's never seen before. Darkness. God, I pray you'd help us to walk as children of light. In Jesus' name.